Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, the Packers have wrapped up the offseason program 9 weeks in all, the last 4 weeks involving OTAs and minicamp. And as we sort of do this off-season wrap-up show, I guess you might call it, we've gotten to witness a handful of the practices out there at Clark Hinkle Field along Oneida Street. We've seen some interesting plays, interesting work by some of the young players in particular. What one play, one moment jumps out at you over this last month?
Well, Mike, you know how us millennials are. We always like the things that have happened most recently.
Okay.
So I'm going to actually go back to something that I witnessed in Wednesday's practice I thought was really interesting. It was just a simple, you know, team period. Nothing too out of the ordinary, but there was one particular pass that was thrown, and I thought Joe Thomas, who's now going into his, what would be his, I guess, third NFL season, but I mean, he's been around here since 2013 in some shape or form.
Right.
He made such a fantastic play getting in front of a ball, but with how quick his reactions were to snag it, and you could just see the energy it sort of spilled throughout the defense, and you know the defensive backs were hollering. They ran the ball back like, you know, it was an actual interception in a game, just having fun with it.
Yeah.
But what was really I found the most interesting was Scott McClurley, the assistant linebackers coach, later in the day told us during the media conference with the coaches that that's the play that Joe Thomas, he had the same exact play a year ago, I believe it was in Houston. And it bounced off his chest. He just wasn't able to bring it in. And it's just those instantaneous, minute sort of detail type plays that really make the biggest difference in a player's game. And the fact that he made it, they're not wearing pads. It's not contact. There's so many different things going on that really prevent it from being a true, you know, padded practice. But at the same time, those are the interceptions, the catches, the times that guys make plays on the ball. That's really what you can probably take the most out of the offseason program, you get the most out of in the spring. And the fact that Joe Thomas is now making those type of plays, I think definitely can bode well for him now going into the summer.
Yeah, if I remember right, that was a pass down, kind of down the middle seam,
right,
to a Richard Rodgers. And Richard Rodgers has kind of been a standout,
yeah,
here through the minicamp the last few days with the veterans excused. A lot of passes going his way. I think the defense was geared up to try to stop him. And not only did they stop him on that play, but as you said, a very impressive play on the ball by Joe Thomas. I'm going to go back a week to pick mine, and it was a play by two of the superstars on this team, Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson. They're in a red zone period, 11-on-11 against the defense, and Rodgers doesn't quite have anywhere to go with the ball right away, as we've seen many times, and all of a sudden Jordy Nelson kind of flashes to the middle. Rodgers just lets it fire. There's at least two or three defenders like right around him, and Jordy Nelson right in the back of the end zone just kind of lets his legs go dead so his toes can drag inbounds, and he catches it as he's falling out of bounds for a touchdown. The defensive guys were looking at each other like, how in the world did that happen? And if there's ever a message that, yeah, the veterans can be excused from minicamp, it's like, you put in your work, you're done for the spring. That was the play.
Well, you want to talk about messages, Mike, and sending a message to the younger guys on the roster that we're going to be here this week for minicamp. Here's Jordy Nelson, former Pro Bowler, NFL Comeback Player of the Year. For all intents and purposes, for a guy now entering his 10th NFL season, a rather, I think, mundane offseason. It's routine. It's meticulous. It's not really something that I think a lot of guys wake up in the morning and be like, all right, we got an OTA
OTA, yeah.
But it shows you the kind of professional that Nelson is and the fact that he's still making those plays. He could have very easily just caught the ball, went out of bounds, didn't really matter. But you heard him talk about this last summer when he didn't get those reps, how important that is for him getting into his own mindset, getting into his own comfortability, getting ready for an NFL season. And those are the type of plays that I think really have shown you why Jordy Nelson is the type of receiver he is. And, I mean, it goes without saying, his body control is second to none. It's the thing that I think really separates him from any receiver in this league. And it's probably a good sign for the Packers that he's already doing it in OTAs.
Yeah, if there's any sign of that old adage that a player can be even better on the second year back from an ACL right. surgery as opposed to the first year back, and Jordy Nelson was awfully good the first year back, it's seeing a play like that that really makes you wonder just what is in store for 2017 for that connection, Rodgers and Nelson.
Yeah, and we've talked about it ad nauseum throughout the offseason, but why he could potentially be successful into his 30s because of that, because of the things he does that separates himself. He has a lot of, natural given ability, no question about that, but it is that work that he puts in and what he dedicates himself to with this game to keep him at that top-notch level. And hey, for guys like Malachi Dupree, some of these other guys that have flashed during the offseason program, that's the standard. That's the gold standard for the Green Bay Packers, and they got a little bit of a taste of it here before they get into these training camp practices and really competing for that 53-man roster.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, with that, Wes, we'll go to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here. Wes Hodkowitz over there. Wes, one player that has received plenty of attention here in this offseason program as he continues his transition to a new position, his first full offseason at his new position, and that's running back Ty Montgomery. We've watched this week with veterans gone and the other young running backs are doing special teams drills and whatnot. Off to the side, Ty Montgomery has been working specifically with Ben Sermons and a former Packers player, Brandon Jackson, also a former running back, on pass protection. Just some simple drills, footwork, technique, things like that for picking up those blitzing linebackers and whatnot. Brandon Jackson, when he was here, a second-round draft pick in 2007, started out as, to be honest, quite awful in pass protection. He was not good at it at all. He knew he wasn't good at it. It was showing up in the training camp practices. He worked diligently with his position coach at the time, Edgar Bennett, now the offensive coordinator, worked diligently with him, and it became a strength of his game, and he gave himself a very important role in this Packers offense, particularly on the 2010 Super Bowl team, as a third down back and a pass protector for Aaron Rodgers. And now he's been sharing that knowledge as a coaching intern with Ty Montgomery. You have to think that's going to pay some dividends down the road.
Yeah, I think it's huge. And this is, as Edgar Bennett first talked about, Brandon Jackson is here as a minority coaching intern, an opportunity. He's only 31 years old. So it's funny, Mike McCarthy actually made that joke about when they brought him in the first day, Dr. Pat McKenzie, the team physician, he jokingly, I think, said that he asked him, if he was here to take a physical.
Yeah.
Because, maybe they were bringing him back. I mean, he's not that far out of the NFL right now. But, these guys want to get on with the next stage of their life. And Jackson, obviously, this is something that he's looking at now. But for Ty Montgomery's perspective, a guy that a year ago at this time was coming off a season-ending ankle injury and in subsequent surgery, was still a receiver at that time, invaluable opportunity for him to get a chance to work with someone like Brandon Jackson. Because as Ben Sermons talked about, it's one thing for a coach to do things, but then you have a guy like Jackson who is only 31 years old, is only a few years older, than Ty Montgomery. There kind of is that peer sort of moderation that goes between them.
Sure.
I'll tell you a story. I mean, I assume you went to school, right? You weren't homeschooled?
Right.
Elementary school?
Yes, I went to elementary school.
When I was in elementary school, first grade, I'll never forget this. It was kindergarten through fifth grade.
Okay.
In first grade, they paired you up with a fifth grader. And it was just one day where you followed around a fifth grader. You learned what it was like to be an older kid.
Okay.
And it was such a cool experience because your teacher can tell you so many different things. But at the end of the day, it's the people that are in your peer group that ultimately can have the biggest impact on you. So I think this is really a valuable opportunity for Ty Montgomery to really learn from a guy who a few years ago, he has that Super Bowl ring. He has a lot of stuff going on in his career, former second-round draft pick. Brandon Jackson did it the right way.
Yeah, Brandon Jackson certainly did. It's been fun to watch those two work together, and I have to agree with Coach McCarthy. I think Brandon Jackson looks like he could still play. Certainly looks in plenty good shape. But it's interesting. I got a question in our Insider Inbox column this week about, just what's so hard about the pass protection for a running back? Don't these guys all have the ability? Why are some guys so much better at it than others? And to me, the way I answered the question, there's so much more to that than meets the eye. When you have to block somebody who's getting a head start and who's coming at you, there are so many things that can go wrong. If you lunge too far forward, you get off balance. The guy runs around you. If you sit back too far, the guy can just run you over. If you don't use the proper footwork, proper technique, you know, your quarterback behind you is going to have to run for his life on that particular play. There's a lot that goes into it. It is not easy. And as I mentioned, Brandon Jackson might have been his rookie year in 07 in training camp. He might have been the worst running back in that blitz pickup drill of all of the guys out there. And excuse me, within a couple of years, he was the best guy on the team right. at the pass protection aspect of it because he worked at it. He honed the technique and the fundamentals and the footwork and the timing and everything that goes into it because it's not easy. And he really made it his calling card in this Packers offense.
I thought you brought up a really good point there to begin with, Mike. When you look at the job responsibilities of a pass protecting running back, you go back last year, you remember the Christian Ringo play, right? Where Ringo was like late on the field and he's like charging towards the line
right.
and push back a guard.
Yeah.
It's you never see that in the defensive front because it's those short strides, but a lot of times that is what those running backs are dealing with. They're usually the guy responsible for the guy that's coming free.
Yep.
You have Clay Matthews, you got Julius Peppers, those type of guys coming at you, and you at 220 pounds or whatever you might be is the guy that's responsible for keeping them off of your quarterback. That's not an easy job responsibility. Even if you have all the strength in the world, all the technique in the world, there's an added element to that. So I really did cue in on that Wednesday practice watching Jackson work with Montgomery and the little small details of that drill and what you need to do to be able to be ready for that. Montgomery's dedicated to it. He's talked about it all offseason. He wants to be a fully every down polished running back. And this is another avenue towards making that happen.
Yeah, and in talking about all the physical skills and physical tools that go into being successful there, I didn't even mention the mental part
right.
of it, which is you have to be in the backfield. You have to decipher exactly what the defense is trying to do, what the protection call is, so you know which guy you have. You think back to the 2013 finale in Chicago. John Kuhn is on the right side of Aaron Rodgers. The free man is Julius Peppers coming all the way from the left side. He's got to cut all the way across there on that 4th and 8 play to get a piece of Peppers to allow Rodgers to throw that pass. The mental part of it was the first step, and then you still have to execute the physical part of it afterwards.
And that is really the thing that makes those third down running backs so vital in this league, no matter what you can do. Was Brandon Jackson ever like a 1,000-yard type runner? He wasn't, but he was effective and he was really proficient in the areas that you really really needed in those late game situations.
Yeah, definitely. Well, with that, we're going to throw it to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, if there was a veteran player who had, maybe you might say, the most interesting interview sessions at his locker during this off-season program, I think the honor would have to go to wide receiver Davante Adams. He was really engaging with reporters. And I know we've talked about the 997 yards. He was 3 yards short of 1,000. But his motivation for this year goes beyond those 3 yards and a statistic. Yes, he's in the final year of his rookie contract. There's a lot on the line as far as his future. But his motivation really comes out in his words and what he has said to reporters this spring.
Yeah, first off, just to get that on the record, I thought he had a hilarious answer on Wednesday because he was asked once again about the 3 yards away from missing 1,000. And he had, without skipping a beat, without, you know, even a smile coming out, he just went, "You know, after this, I'm going to walk to my car. I'm going to drive home. I'm going to go get something to eat. I'm going to go to sleep. I'm not going to think about it. The only time I ever think about it now is when I'm talking with you guys." So
yeah.
Did he want to be a 1,000-yard rusher? Obviously. Everybody wants to be a 1,000-yard rusher if you're a wide receiver. 1,000-yard receiver if you're a receiver.
Yeah.
You want to be able to reach that milestone. But the big thing for Adams that I think has been so impressive, we talked about his confidence, we talked about how steady he is, but the fact that he hasn't flinched at all throughout this entire process. When he had the down season in 2015, he didn't change how he trained in the offseason. Him and Richard Rodgers, they went through the same routine they've been going through since they entered the league together. Yeah, did he focus on different things? Of course. You know, he tried to build strength last year. This year he did more running. He's watching what he eats. He, you know, he's having a food service bring in his food, you know, his meals, I think, when he's in Green Bay and back home. So there's a focus there. But in terms of his training mentality, it hasn't changed. It didn't matter if it was after 2015. It doesn't matter if it's now. He wants to be the best receiver he can be in this league, and he's taking what he feels are every steps it's going to take to achieve that goal.
And I think he knows, and he's not necessarily going to come right out and say it, but he knows when you're in an offense with Jordy Nelson, with Randall Cobb, Martellus Bennett being added,
right,
Ty Montgomery now as a running back and a guy who can, you know, slip out and catch passes, there are only so many passes to go around, and you are going to have to be on top of your game in order to just even repeat the statistics that he had last year. But obviously he'd like to improve on those and do even better. 12 touchdown passes is awfully good. But the potential is there for more, because as Aaron Rodgers likes to say, you know, who's your favorite receiver? The open guy.
Right.
If you get open, you get the ball from number 12.
Yeah, and Adams did talk about that, the fact that, obviously, they had Jared Cook in the offense last year. He was a big addition. But now having Martellus Bennett, having Lance Kendricks, what those guys do for those receivers is going to be big. What Ty Montgomery does, because we're seeing it already. You've even, you know, you noticed it now with McCaffrey going to Carolina. First practice they had, he's lining up as a slot receiver. I mean, the running back definition for guys like, you know, Ty Montgomery, it's expanding now.
Yeah.
So that is going to be another receiver out there at times. It's going to be another guy to take the attention off of defense. And fact of the matter is, the more one-on-one matchups you can create in a secondary, the more successful this offense is going to be. That's why it thrived the way it did in 2011. It's why they had the successes they did in 2014. The potential's there, and Devontae Adams said that. I mean, they all see it, but it's one thing to see it, and it's one thing to realize it, and that's the steps between now and the start of that week one and against Seattle that ultimately is going to decide how far that offense goes.
Yeah, and I had an interesting interview with Adams, a one-on-one I did with him for a feature story that's going to be in the Packers yearbook coming out later this summer, and I asked him about the contract situation. He's going into the final year of his rookie deal. And I asked him, you know, well, you know, do you think about it? How much is it on your mind? And he says, I look at it this way. When I was, you know, finishing up at Fresno State, I didn't think about the NFL not one bit until maybe the last two or three games of my college career. That's when I started, when it got really right towards the end, I started to think about, okay, yeah, maybe I'm going to the NFL. Well, he had, you know, some ridiculous amount of yards and touchdowns or whatever that final year at Fresno State, because he just focused on football. He's going to take the same approach this year. He's going to focus on football, not on the contract. He's already learned that that kind of stuff can take care of itself, because he ended up being a second-round draft pick, which in some ways was higher than many people maybe had projected before that final season in college.
Yeah, and can that affect some guys? Of course, but I think there is a mindset sometimes with that, and the narrative of how that affects guys, I think that sometimes gets overblown. Myself, I'm going on vacation after this week. People have been asking me, hey, how excited are you for that? I don't think about it, because I have to get through our show of Unscripted. We have to get through availability, stories. There's so many things on a day-to-day basis you have to knock down just to get to the next one. And for Devontae Adams, there's a whole year that has to get played out here.
Yep.
I think he understands that. And he's seen it. He saw Jordy Nelson. He saw Randall Cobb. If you produce, the Packers will reward you. So his biggest goal right now is, you put together a breakthrough season in 2016. What's the encore now? And that's where his eyes are set on.
Yeah, well, one more break to take, Wes, and we'll be back to wrap up Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, final segment here as we wrap up the offseason program. We'll be signing off for a while, coming back then at the right around the start of training camp, and we'll have some time to preview training camp. But I want to get your thoughts here before we go. with when training camp rolls around, what is the position battle, the number one thing that you're going to have your eye on?
The Packers made a big adjustment to their offseason program this year where they scaled back their running. They focused more on their passing games just because of the limitations that you have during this non-contact time. So I'm really excited to see that backfield battle start to shape up a little bit. I think McCarthy said this past week that he estimated that 85% of the snaps that they took in the offseason program were in sub packages. So seeing, you know, when you start getting those half line drills going, those combo drills going, you get the big guys on the line, you know, kind of, you know, going at each other, and seeing how, you know, Jamal Williams, you know, sees the hole, Aaron Jones, Devontae Mays, who again, you did a tremendous job of telling his story earlier this spring. All three of those guys bring something different to the table. They all look like NFL running backs.
Yep.
They all produced really well at their respective college level. But, okay, now how do they look once the lights are on? Ty Montgomery is going to be a big part of this offense this year, but we've seen in the past how you need to be able to even out and balance that rotation. Who's the guy that grabs the brass ring there is what I want to see.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that that push for the number two running back, the guy who's going to spell Ty Montgomery, because I think you and I both agree, the Ty Montgomery getting 25 or 30 carries in a game, that's really not where this Packers offense is headed. But if the running game is doing something and if the running game is working, then it's kind of having that two-headed monster to be able to make it work.
And how many times did we, after games these past few years, where reporters talking to both Eddie Lacy and James Starks, you know, just
right.
about, you know, they both getting 10 carries and getting the production that they got out of it. There's going to need to be balance there. There always has to be some balance, and it's going to be interesting to see who brings that to this offense.
Yeah, I'm going to be keeping my eye on, as I have all spring, but on that cornerback position, because that's going to be such a vital part of this defense. And you look at, you know, you have Devon House, Demarius Randall, Quentin Rollins, Ladarius Gunter. You bring in Kevin King. Maybe there's another Ladarius Gunter, an undrafted guy, you know, who
right.
has yet to show himself, or maybe the next Sam Shields is in this bunch. We don't know yet. But how this all shakes out in terms of the depth chart, who's going to be on the field as the starters, the nickel, the dime, what different packages are going to be used, how these guys are going to be utilized, I think we're going to start to see some of that in training camp in the preseason, so I'm going to be watching that closely.
It's always fascinating to watch who's the guy that emerges, who's going to be that cornerback, who's going to be the next Jayrone Elliott, you know, that ends up having 5 sacks in the preseason. Big thing for these guys to step up once that time comes.
All right, no question. Well, with that, we are going to sign off on Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, you can find him at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford. At Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you in training camp.